Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Thanks so much for being here with us. I always say, oh, it's a great show today, and I probably said it yesterday, but today's better than yesterday. This is a really good show. Second hour, Dr. Italy will be with us. We always love it when Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio is here with us, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, we just had Pentecost. And many of us still struggle with the Holy Spirit. Still struggle with understanding what are the gifts and how do we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Which ones should we be using? And there's always the question about speaking in tongues that'll probably come up. So we'll talk entirely the second hour about the Holy Spirit and all those questions that always come up about the Holy Spirit. So if you got one, the second hour is for you. This hour, Noelle Maring is our guest, and she you probably know her because she wrote the book "Awake, Not Woke: A Christian Response to the Cult of Progressive Ideology." And we're going to talk today about keeping the ideology out of the home. How do you kind of ideology-proof the home? You baby-proof it when the little ones start moving around. You put those little plastic things in the plugs and you do all that stuff. Well, can we do that for ideology? Can we plug up the holes that allow ideology to get in? And I'm talking about the destructive ideologies of today. I almost feel like they don't need any explanation. People know what you're talking about. People don't want their child being convinced that their gender is fluid. And that is exactly what happens. Children are convinced of that. This is not something that 8-year-olds are naturally coming to. They don't want their children to be taught to be victims or to reject morality, but to be moralizers at the same time, which is a common ailment of the young. So Noelle is also, she's at the think tank, the Ethics and Public Policy Center, in addition to that book I just mentioned, Awake, Not Woke. And she's the editor for the website, she's one of the editors anyways, of the website Theology of Home, and the co-author of several Theology of Home books. They got 4 of them now. Noelle Maring, thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
And you have little ones in the home. You have kids.
I do. I've got 6 kids. 3 have graduated high school and have moved on to college and beyond, and 3 are still at home.
Oh, I want to read you some of your own words then about college, because I was reading this brilliant article you did following the recent protests and things that were going on. And this is what you said about college. And I think this is exactly what parents are feeling. You give them your best, meaning your kids. You give them your best. They send back students who don't believe in the moral law but are full of moral outrage. You send them your brightest. They give you back 22-year-olds who do not believe in the truth but are certain everyone else is wrong. Why is that? What's going on?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, higher ed has been largely captured by this ideology. It's been, you know, I think apparent for a number of years, but it seems like it's escalated far more intensely, and we're seeing that on the campuses now. I think what's happening is that they're not really training them to be critical thinkers. They're training them to be activists, social justice warriors, and critical theorists. So part of that means that they're absorbing an ideology that teaches them to criticize everything. I mean, that would basically, like, the pedestrian way of explaining what critical theory is that all systems are perpetuating power domination. And so to undo them, we have to unmask the evil and oppression that's everywhere. It's in not just our institutions, it's in the Western canon of literature and books and education. It's in your dad, it's in your mom, it's in your religion that you were brought up with, it's in your neighbor's barbecue, and it's everywhere. And so they're teaching them that their moral stature is to be found in their ability to claim some sort of grievance identity. But in order to maintain a victim identity, you have to find people to accuse at all times. And so that really gives a perverse incentive, I think, to any of us, that any of us could be pulled into. We all want to deflect from our responsibility and our culpability and to see that everyone else is bad and we are good by default. You know, it sort of feels like a shortcut maybe to virtue, but and it's probably pleasant to just only focus on the errors of other people, but it really makes a society that is just full of fury and rage. And I think we're seeing that, you know, through not only in the campuses, but in our culture, left and right, that there's just anger and misery. And I think this ideology really encourages and exploits that human temptation to not look at ourselves, but to look at everyone else. And it really stands in, you know, stark contrast to the church. You know, the church in her wisdom knows that we have these temptations. And so she says, well, why don't you do a daily examination of your conscience?
Yeah,
Go to confession, speak your sins, you know, that these are, it's really difficult to look at ourselves with accuracy. And we really need more of that in order to combat all of this, you know, rage and unrest.
Oh, yeah. You think of the medieval saints who used to pray that God would show them their hidden faults. This is exactly what we're talking about. But if you don't believe in God anymore, if God is a concept meant to oppress the masses, then you're really cut off. And that does seem to me almost to be part of the strategy here, if you can use the word strategy for this kind of ideological indoctrination that's going on, is that people are cut off from those things that they might grab onto to live full and fully human lives.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think they're you know, that's one piece of it. Another piece, I think, is that, you know, they're changing their identity and unmooring people's identity. So they're telling them they don't really have an author and they don't really have an end. They don't have a purpose and they don't have an origin, right? And so they're atomized in time, kind of orphans from any sort of anything that would really root them or give them a sense of mission and purpose in their life. And, you know, that really leads to a lot of despair. If you don't feel like you have that sort of rootedness, it's, you know, you're going to be pulled into any kind of whim of ideology. And I think in some ways, rage just feels like not only an avenue to virtue, but also an avenue to just feeling alive again, you know. And I think a lot of the kids have just become numb through, you know, technology, all of the, you know, distractions that we have in this world, and want to feel human, but they're finding it in these sort of perverse ways that aren't helpful.
I wonder if even the basic need for community is there. If you grew up kind of isolated, maybe your own family wasn't a community, your school wasn't really a community, and so you played video games or did whatnot, and now there's a community of rage. At least it's a community.
Yeah, at least it's a sense of belonging. That's exactly right. And, you know, social pathologies have a tendency to sort of snowball. They build on and pick up speed, and they pull more victims along as they tumble down the hill. And I think these social pathologies have done that as well. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of sexual abuse out there. There's a lot of real horrors that people have experienced that have made them truly victimized. And so it's easier to kind of pulled into an ideology that tells you that that has defined you. You're defined by your wounds and by the harm that's been done to you. And, you know, to kind of let that become your core identity. And so understandably, a lot of people, I think, are angry and upset and unable to heal, find sort of a real healing that I think is on offer through our Lord and through the church. But we've really abandoned that. And the campuses are reflecting that first and foremost, but most it's spreading through a lot of other places as well.
Noelle Mehring is our guest. Awake Not Woke, A Christian Response to the Cult of Progressive Ideology is her book. And you can find a lot of what she has dedicated herself to at Theology of Home as well. You can go to theologyofhome.com. And there you published an article called Seven Ways to Keep the Wokeness Out of Our Home and Away from Our Kids. So if we want to protect kids from ideology, it's not like I don't feel like we want to protect kids from difficult ideas or struggling with people who disagree with us, you know, because that's how we grow in intelligence and wisdom and knowledge and all that. But the ideology, I think, is what you're wanting to protect people from. And you gave seven ways to do it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think that we have to, you know, part of the impetus behind Theology of Home is just a recognition that what happens in our home is incredibly important, you know.
Yeah.
It's so obvious to say, but, you know, that really what it doesn't stay in the home. It's not like Las Vegas where what happens in the home stays in the home. It actually bleeds out into the street and the world and into our institutions. And so it's incredibly important to be seeing the home and the family life as real antidote to this movement. And it's been rather heartbreaking. I've been touring around the country for the last few years since I wrote the Woke book, and I hear from parents and grandparents, inevitably, every single time I speak, that they have a child or a grandchild who's, 20 years old and detests the faith and detests them, and, you know, or that there's some level of strain and fracture. And it's such a common experience, you know, that parents are just, you know, devastated by this. And, you know, one of the first things I want to tell them is that, you know, don't carry this as your fault. This is so common. It's happening to the best of parents. And that there's, a lot of ways in which the ideology is just very hard to combat. And kids get pulled into it. But, you know, we can't despair. So, you know, first and foremost, they need to stay engaged, be praying for them, change the tenor of relationships. So it's not all about politics. It's about, how are their friendships? How's their work? How are we having a real human engagement so that we're not politicizing everything in the way that the woke movement is inviting us to? But what do you do if you've got little kids? So my article on theologyofhome.com was really addressing that. And I gave seven sort of categories of things from, being careful with their technology, to having a really cheerful home. I think we can't underestimate how important it is to be forming positive memories, that our attitudes are not taught, they're caught, as the expression goes, and that we can really lead it with a sense of joy in the home. And that's one thing that they cannot deny, that I had a happy, joyful home. That's hard. That's really hard to turn your back on, and to think that that the what the world is telling you, that your family life was oppressive or that it was naive or what have you, when they walk into the world and feel sort of the anger that's coming from it, the joy will stand in stark contrast to that attitude. And I think that can really communicate things in their memory that pulls them and tethers them to the faith and to our family.
Well, that's number one, cultivate that cheerful, fun, affectionate marriage and family life. But there's six more of them, and I'm going to go through them with our guest, Noelle Marion. But I'd also invite you to call. There are lines open right now, a few lines open, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk about ideology proofing your home, maybe you have a young family, maybe your family is farther along. Whatever is the case, you are welcome to call with your questions for our guest, Noelle Marion, 888-318-7884.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Father Dwight Longenecker. Why do you need to go to confession? Well, it's easy, to receive forgiveness for the things we've done wrong. But more importantly than that, one of the beauties of confession is that when we go to confession, we take responsibility for ourselves. Our world is besieged by those who feel entitled and want to blame others and expect others to do everything for them. When we go to confession, by God's help, we're saying, it's my job, it's my responsibility, I'm going to get on and do what I can to change myself and change the world with God's help.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Noelle Marion is here with us, and this is a problem I do think, and I love talking about it because so many struggle with it, and probably being a fellow at the Washington, D.C.-based think tank at the Ethics and Public Policy Center gives her more time to think about these things than most of us have, and she's happy to help. If you have this concern yourself, how to keep the ideology out of the home. So that children have a chance to be children, I suppose, would be one way to say it. If you'd like to get in on that conversation, you're very welcome here, 888-318-7884. Noelle doesn't just talk with people who agree with her either. If you've got a problem with what we've said, or if you want to challenge something, or just have a question about it, you're very welcome as well. 888-318-7884. Just remember the policy, no being mean to the host. You can be as mean as you want to the guest. Oh, sorry, Noelle. I apologize for that. All right, so we were going through the seven. I'm going to go to the phones, but let's see if we can get one or two more. So if you want to ideology-proof the home, so that children have the space to be children and curious and joyful and all those things before the crushing spirit of the world finds its way to try to tempt them to bitterness and all that. What are some of the things we can do?
Well, I briefly mentioned tech, and I do think that's an important one. Tech is incredibly addictive, and it's harder to pull back once it's introduced. So I would advise parents to wait as long as possible to have your child have social media, smartphones. There used to be a movement called Wait Until 8. I think that's far too young. At ninth grade, it's not the pillar of good judgment and prudence.
Really?
So, 14, we still need a little help. But so there's plenty of creative dumb phones on the market now that don't have access to the internet, from the pinwheel phone to the gab phone to I don't know all the names, but they're out there. I will be the first person to say that one of the greatest problems we're experiencing now is people don't have a sense of being embodied. And I think partially this ideology does this. The transgender movement builds off of that disembodiment. The sexual revolution builds off of that. And I think phones are really a way that kids have learned to socialize without being in person. And it's creating weird things, like kids don't want to get their driver's license at 16 anymore because their social life is through their phone. And they need to have those sort of embodied interactions and lives in order to really develop in a deeply human way. So
I have to say that's one of the most shocking things from an old person like me, that these kids don't want to drive. Like when I was a kid, if they had told us you could get your license at 13 or 10, we would have gotten it. We'd done whatever it took because we just wanted to get in that car and go see our friends.
I got mine on my 16th birthday on the nose. I got my driver's license.
I feel like you're bragging right now, but okay. All right, give us some other tips for keeping the ideology proofing the home.
You sort of mentioned this earlier, having discussion, debate, dialogue in the home. So, the truth can withstand any sort of scrutiny. And so I think it's good for families to set a precedent that you can come to me with your struggles, your doubts, your questions, and I fully trust that the truth can withstand them. And so let's talk about them. Let's become philosophers together, amateur ones. But I think a child who learns really to think critically is more immune to propaganda later on, because their propaganda is always coercive. An ideology built on lies, they cannot withstand scrutiny. So they have to coerce, they have to manipulate, they have to silence, they have to cancel. And so I think that training our kids to be deep thinkers in that way can really help them in their future.
How about we'll do a few more of those, of the seven ways that you gave for ideology proofing the home, so to speak. But I'd like to get a couple callers on. How about we do that and we'll come back to these?
Sounds good.
Noelle Maring, our guest, Awake Not Woke, is her book. And you can check out the other part of her public life at theologyofhome.com. I got that right? Theologyofhome.com. All right.
You got it.
Let's go to Jeff in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, listening to EWTN on Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Jeff, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Noelle Maring.
Hi, thank you, Noelle. I'm very impressed, and I'm not easily impressed, but you're spot on. Your language is good. You're practiced and you care. Thank you very much. It provoked me, and I'm going to study all of the materials. But it provoked me. I also got my license at 16. Same reasons. I agree that although there's a lot of wonderful things that connect people technologically, it's how they're used is, in my experience, devastating to younger people that has affected generations. The purpose of my call is. And by the way, that home environment, and I don't know how you said it. You said attitudes are caught, not taught. I totally agree. You can't give somebody something they don't want to learn. Telling them the truth will just piss them off. So that's where we find ourselves. I find myself with kids that have gone through these experiences, and they show up at 18 looking for work. It is fraught with I feel the need to help them and guide them to something I see clearly they haven't got and they need and thirst for.
No, I think I'll let Noelle respond to that. I want to come back to you because I think you're onto something. I think a lot of employers are finding that this grievance culture is not producing the most employable people. But Noelle?
That's right. It doesn't lead to an excellent workforce, that's for sure. But I can hear your passion. I appreciate it. I feel the same. One thing I would say is that, you know, we, I think, desperately need good mentorship. And maybe you're being called to mentor young men or young adults in some way and to kind of help them, give them another example of how to be, another way of being that they're not, they haven't gotten so thus far. So I would encourage maybe thinking about ways that you might be able to help in that way.
What do you think, Jeff?
I got to tell you, if you care about people and your business, you're a mentor whether you like it or not. Yep. Now you're trying to gauge the delivery so that it might be best received and grown in good soil.
Praise God! Yeah,
I have to turn it over to God. I can't force anybody to want to know and love the truth with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind.
Nope, that's not. Oh, I'm sorry. He said
if they check with their friends and family, they're going to be told to stay away from me.
Oh, I wonder if that's always the case. I think a lot of parents might be on your side, Jeff. Noelle?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it depends obviously on the person, the circumstance, but yeah, certainly I think that there's a way in which if we feel that, you know, any of our advice or help is falling on deaf ears or even hostile ears, we have to realize when, you know, we need to step away that I can't really do any good here. You know, and so that's a key part of the prudential discernment too, as you relate to all these kids.
It's interesting to hear the two of you talk about it, though, because Jeff doesn't come at this, and I do admire this very much, Jeff, kids these days. They're such this and that, because they're really the victims of this. They didn't ask for this. They didn't ask to be indoctrinated in this way.
No, they certainly did not. And I think that, you know, there's varying levels of culpability among the woke, and it's important for us to realize that just because someone might be of that persuasion, that they might, as you say, be total victims of an ideology that was unsuspecting and that they were too young to really counter. And so they need our compassion. They need to be treated with great dignity and helped to heal from this, because it is really, it really coerces people into it. And so it's one thing to deal with someone who is perpetrating the ideology in a way that is really sinister, you know, such as, you know, drag queens for second graders and, you know, these sorts of movements. But it's another thing for these young adults who have really known nothing else and have just need some better guidance.
Jeff, thank you very much for the call. I'm going to go to Daniel in Lafayette, Louisiana. Daniel, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Noelle Maring.
Well, I might be a little late to get your advice. My daughter's probably 30, 35 now. We were close, you know. She helped me teach catechism. Came up through charismatic ranks, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, love reading scriptures. And now she moved away and went, she lives in a liberal city or whatnot. Now she thinks I'm this evil person that taught her all kind of wrong things. I'm too dangerous to have my grandkids around, so she keeps them away from me to protect her kids. I just wrote a horrible letter, how bad and all the horrible things I did to her, teaching her Catholic faith and stuff. My new wife sent her a card wishing her husband and the kids happy Easter. And she called back all mad and said how bad we hurt her. How could we do that to her? I don't know what to do other than to leave her alone, you know?
She was upset because you said happy Easter, you're saying?
She was very hurt because we wished them happy Easter.
Gotcha. Yeah,
how could we do that, you know?
Right. You know, I think you have, you first of all, I would not say it's too late because no one's beyond the point of redemption. And I would be praying and sacrificing for her, which I'm sure you are doing, you and your wife. I don't think that she can probably be persuaded with any sort of argument or messaging or telling her, you know, that she's wrong or reminding her of the truth. At this point, it sounds like she's so far, you know, to use the lingo, triggered by such you know, very innocuous comments. So I would probably disengage on the political level and see if there's any room left to have any goodwill on a human level and try to stay engaged in that way.
Daniel, thank you for the call. I'm very sorry to hear it. I have to say, though, that Noelle, this is not an uncommon thing. I have to be honest, I think a lot of them are getting it also in, they're going to therapists who are telling them that other people are toxic. The word toxic is just thrown around constantly now.
Yeah, that's right. I wrote an article for the National Catholic Register recently about the therapy. I'd finished Abigail Schreier's new book, which is excellent, Bad Therapy. And it was striking how much, you know, a lot of that was a parenting issue, but therapy itself has gotten quite captured. We have some friends I wrote about in this article whose son, and their pseudonym I used, tried to commit suicide at 14. And he went into therapy and it was utterly woke. So their response was they had him do something called a privilege walk. To unmask his oppression.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
At 14, when he was suicidal.
I got to gather my thoughts. That's so horrifying to me. Yeah. But we will, Daniel, thank you for the call. We'll be right back with more on ideology proofing the home, making it a joyful place, not a place just of ideology. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
As we read the Gospels, every Christian faces the question again and again, what does Jesus mean? Getting the answer right is critical to both growth in holiness and fruitful evangelization. Want to know Jesus better so you can introduce him to your friends? Then it's time to get serious about understanding his words. Why not join Catholic Answers for our 10th annual Apologetics Conference? Learn from me the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ. September 26th through 29th, right here in sunny San Diego. Learn from our guests, Dr. Scott Hahn and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, Father Sebastian Walsh, Billy Junker, Father Paul Check, and, of course, all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. It'll be 4 days of fun, faith, fellowship, and a live radio show. Seats are still available, but going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I often feel like the instruction that Jesus gave us being gentle as the gentlest of animals and clever as the most vicious of animals is really needed for this era. We don't want to be in the position of denigrating other people or calling people names or Xing people out of our lives, but we can't seriously today in this day of age think that it's just safe to send a child to whatever school without looking into it. We can't really believe that all those people online that want to get in touch with your child have nothing but the child's best interest at heart. I mean, we would be really being foolish in that case. And this is where Noelle Maring is very helpful in her book, Awake, Not Woke, and in other writing and work that she does in kind of unmasking some of the roots of this. Where did all this come from? But also just unmasking its presence. Sometimes it can just feel confusing. Do you hear that from people? Like, I just feel confused. I don't know what to make of any of this.
Yeah, most people I find sense that something is off, but they can't quite put their finger on it. And, you know, partially that's because a lot of the language is either almost impenetrably written, some of the, you know, the theory literature, or it seems really innocuous and you can interpret it in a way that feels perfectly defensible, or you can interpret it in a way that is a little bit more sinister. And so it's most normal people, reasonable people, interpret it things in a reasonable way. They don't expect that people will be doing things that are more sinister. But yeah, as you said, gentle and wise as serpents, because, you know, we want first and foremost to be having people who have a mission of love, to love people, to help heal them, to see their dignity. But we also cannot be naive and suckers, you know, when there is so much sinister stuff out to, you know, prowling like a lion trying to devour our children. So we do really need to balance both.
A little bit of prayer of St. Michael right in there. Yeah, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk about your own home, your own experience, get some help from Noel, or maybe just ask a question, make a challenge, you're welcome here, 888-318-7884. We're talking about ideology proofing. That's what Darren and I came up with today. Ideology proofing your home. Let's go to Boris right here in San Diego. Hi, Boris.
Hi, how are you?
Super good. Whenever you call, things get better, Boris.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And it's good to see you, Noel. You're actually live on the radio today, basically. That's kind of cool, huh?
Yeah, good to hear you.
So, hey, the reason for my call is I wanted to let people in the Southern California area know that they can come meet Noel at a conference that's taking place on June 29 in San Diego at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. That's in the eastern part of San Diego North. And they can get more information on that. And also, by the way, meet Paul Jonah, who is a constitutional attorney, Stacy Trasankos, and Father Anthony Sirocki. And what we're doing is putting together a conference that covers the social, the scientific, and spiritual aspects of wokeism. So, and it's called Withstanding Wokeism. And the website for that is wswksm.org. Again, that's wswksm.org. I don't know if you can put that on the screen or not. That would be helpful.
They might be able to get that on the screen, but we can certainly put it in the show notes. WSWKSM.org. Okay. It's Withstanding Wokeism. Noel, you'll be talking there. What are you going to talk about?
I'm going to be covering the social dynamics of the woke movement. So we've got the legal, the scientific, the spiritual, and I'm starting off the day with the social. So I think it'll be a great day. Ed Boris and his team have assembled a good group. I'm really excited to hear the other speakers.
That's an extraordinary line of speakers. I actually know all four of you, and that's a conference I would go to, Boris. But you know why I'm not going, right, Boris? Do you know?
Yeah, I know. We're so sad about that, but you'll be cruising, right?
I mean, I can't get out of a cruise ship to come. I mean, I probably could, but I really like going on the cruise. So next time,
yeah,
Boris. Next time.
Bye.
Well, I'm glad you called to tell all us right. about it and remind us that Noel will be out here in San Diego on the 29th. Just go to wswksm.org to find out more about the big conference that they're having at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish. The number here is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We'll go to Carol in Omaha, Nebraska. Listening, like everyone in Omaha, Nebraska does, to Spirit Catholic Radio. Welcome, Carol. Go ahead with your question.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed the show, and I just wanted to make a point and get your feedback. On Spirit Catholic Radio, of several months ago, I heard an exorcist speak, a Catholic priest, who said one of the ways the devil attacks is by having people focus on their victimhood rather than the healing power of Jesus and the light. And it really struck a chord with me because our youngest daughter, who was raised Catholic, very devotional home, K through 12, had a very bad counselor in college, and this was exactly what the counselor was doing. my daughter got involved in the occult. And luckily, her future mother-in-law and myself were strong enough in our faith that we prayed and fasted over an entire year very, very hard. I've never fasted so hard in my life. And we broke those bonds, and she's finally, after several years, healed and whole again. As far as we know, I mean, involvement in the occult always carries baggage, but it was really...
But you say, Carol, she was taught this victimhood mentality in counseling.
In counseling, an online counselor. Yes.
I want to get Noelle in here on that point. Noelle Maring, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the last segment. I really do think that counseling has been so captured by ideology that we have to be very careful. But of course, you know, good with people, when your kid has for needs help, you want to get them help. So you did, that's the right thing to do. I do think that there's a connection, as you say, with the demonic. I don't think it's an accident that partially the part one of the identities that the woke movement seeks you to assume is one of the accuser, which is connected to being a perpetual victim. So, the accuser is the character of the devil. So I do think that is perfectly logical that would be an avenue into the occult. I'm so sorry for what you endured, and I'm very inspired by your dedication to prayer and fasting. It's beautiful and really amazing, and praise God that your daughter is healed.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks very much. I want to get back to you because the whole hour will slip away and I won't get them in here. Noelle Maring, our guest, in her, I don't know where she gets all the time to do this stuff, but among the things that she's written, 7 ways to keep wokeness out of your home and away from your kids, that ideology that includes critique of everything, becomes a critique so that the child is disoriented and cut off from the family and all of that. Her first point, her first of the 7 ways was cultivate a cheerful, fun, and affectionate marriage and family life. The second one was to get on top of their technology. Make sure you're paying attention to what the technology is presenting to them. Foster discussion and dialogue. If they have questions, we don't need to be afraid of questions. We need to become, as Noelle said, philosophers together. Can you give us a few more, Noelle?
Yeah, the fourth one is to make sure that you prioritize beauty. So whether it be natural beauty, taking them to rivers, to parks, to meadows, to the ocean, to the mountains, anything that's accessible to you geographically, I would emphasize that. But also beauty and culture, cathedrals, beautiful churches, beautiful architecture, museums, symphonies. My dad would take me to Shakespeare when I was 10 years old, and I only probably absorbed a little bit of it. But the power of beauty is that it communicates transcendental meaning, that things mean things beyond their utility. And the ideology, there's a reason why Marxist countries are so ugly architecturally, because they really see no use of beauty, and that beauty can speak to a longing of wonder in our for wonder in our soul that points us towards God. And so beauty can be a great thing to foster in the home. The fifth one is school selection. We already touched on that somewhat, that we are way past the days of defaulting to our neighborhood public school, that we really need to be careful about, who's forming them, and have good mentors for them. The sixth one, I think, is a sense of mission. This, I think, is incredibly important. My priest, a good priest friend of mine, he says that the most important word that we need in the Catholic lexicon these days is mission. That he sees kids, the young people, feel like they're drivenless. They have no drive and no sense of mission in about the faith, apostolic mission, approaching friendships, not for the sake of mining them for pleasure or for fun, but for the sake of being a good friend to serve, to bring them into the faith if they're not in the faith. Imbuing our daily lives with that sense of mission, I think, is really energizing and creates a dynamism of the faith that I think is exciting for young people.
Noelle Maring is our guest. We're talking about ideology proofing the home. You are welcome to call if you have a question or just want to get in on the conversation. 888-318-7884. Let's go to Kansas City, Missouri. Logan is in Kansas City, Missouri, watching on YouTube. Logan, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Noelle.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Great discussion. Great topic. I'm curious to kind of get some feedback on, I live alone. I've lived alone most of my life and sort of dealt with loneliness and isolation. And I've really had to kind of defend myself against a lot of ideologies coming in, you know, with the lack of sort of a family or support or partner. So I'm kind of curious on that aspect of, you know, I really believe Satan works, you know, in isolation on people, and what kind of defenses we can have against that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's been a rise in sort of an epidemic of loneliness. So, you know, you are not alone in your loneliness, if I can say it that way.
Right.
You know, you really need community, and you're well aware of that. And if I'm not sure how much is on offer sort of in your church environment or hobbies, and oftentimes in, you know, sporting clubs or athletic groups or chess clubs, or I would be really intentional about putting yourself out there. You know, so that you are with people, because it's really not good for you to be alone. Discipline, you know, habits of life, you know, are you visiting the Blessed Sacrament, daily mass? I mean, all these things, I think having these markers throughout your day, so you're not spending, you know, long periods of time where you're just inside or, you know, at loose ends. I would try to, you know, really ward against idleness. But really being intentional with all those, you know, sorts of groups and clubs that are available. And also possibly like Catholic dating groups that I know are sprouting up around. I just read about one recently with Orthodox Catholics just setting up sort of like speed dating. And I'm not sure what cities they're in or what city you're in, but I would be really looking into all of those things, fire you, and God bless you. I'm sorry that that's a struggle.
Logan, thank you very much. I'd like to send you a book. I've been giving this book out to everybody. I just love this book that we have from Father Sebastian Walsh, Secrets from Heaven, the Parables and Conversations of Jesus. I'd be happy to send it to you if you'd like, but I got to go to a quick break. So if you want it, just hang on the line. Edgar will get it to you. We'll continue with our conversation with Noel Mehring when we come back, the author of Awake, Not Woke. And if you'd like some help in kind of ideology-proofing your home, whether your family is a young family, just starting out, or whether you are farther along in that, maybe you just would like to talk about these ideas with Noel, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, you're always welcome here. 888-318-7884.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
At EWTN Radio, your family. And because you're a part of our family, we value your opinions on what you hear on EWTN. You can call our listener comment line 24/7 at 205-795-5773. We value your comments, your questions, and any suggestions you may have to make EWTN Radio even better. 205-795-5773. And thank you for listening to EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I really am sorry that I can't go June 29th because we'll be out of town. The Catholic Answers, a lot of us will be out of town for the Catholic Answers cruise, which I said I'm not going to talk about anymore on the show. And I'm not giving out the website, the CatholicAnswersCruise.com, and inviting you to go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com and sign up if you want to come, starting in Montreal, ending in Boston. I said I'm not talking about that anymore. So I just wanted to mention that I will be out of town June 29th. But Noel Mehring will be here. Paul Jonah, fantastic man and attorney. Dr. Stacy Trisankos, who you know from her many appearances on this show, and the wonderful Father Anthony Sirocki. And they're going to talk about withstanding wokeism. If you want to know more about it, you could probably just type in your machine like San Diego withstanding wokeism and you'll find it. But if you want the specific address, I think that they decided to make it the most difficult address to remember possible. I don't know why they did that, but it's a memory test for you. WSWKSM.org. I didn't even do it right now. I'm reading it. WSWKSM.org. You couldn't just make it like catsanddogs.org or something easy for me to remember? Come on, people. I'm getting old. You can't do this to me. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. I should, you know, we started off by talking about what colleges have become. I have some folks who send me from various school districts here in California. They will send me training manuals and things. And these are public schools, like elementary schools and high schools. And they actually, as Catholics, have a kind of, they often face a crisis, a moral crisis of, can I be involved in this? Anyway, it's that bad that, can I be involved in this? You mentioned public schools. What are some ideas on protecting children as far as schooling goes to keep the ideology out?
Yeah, no, I'd leave the public schools. I mean, it's rare that there's one that isn't so infected. I mean, there's a lot of very good teachers, though, in the public school system. So
right.
It's tricky. You can find places where, you know, you can trust the formation. One of the hardships is that there's a program called social emotional learning that's really taken off in the public schools, SEL for short. It was started, really started in the 90s, but it's become almost ubiquitous now. But they have in this social emotional learning program, they really teach kids to focus with a laser-like intensity on their feelings in a way that's, I think, a little disordered. But they introduce the ideology with things like one program has encourages kids to keep problem diaries where they're supposed to log their trigger situations. And the prompts are, did someone make you feel left out today? Were your parents not there for you in an important moment today? Has someone treated you unfairly? And I call it a reverse examination of conscience, because any parent listening knows when your kids were little or maybe now, if you sit at the dinner table, you do the exact opposite, right? You ask them, what did you learn today? Were you helpful to that new kid in school? Did you help your family today? Did you help your siblings? And you're drawing them out of that natural childish self-absorption to see how they might seek out areas when they can be of service. And the SEL problem diary really does the exact opposite. It starts to, it's not responding to a need, it's creating one. So it's getting these kids to start focusing on the errors around them and the ways they might be getting their feelings hurt that they might not have noticed or even cared much about had it not been given this sort of prominence in their education.
That is very, very helpful. It's just, like you said, that you send your child to school and the teacher might be just wonderful, but that teacher might themselves be having a kind of moral crisis about, can I teach this the way that I'm being asked to teach or the material that I'm being asked to teach? So you write this book, Awake Not Woke. Did you get canceled for that? Has anybody canceled you? I mean, we have not canceled you. You're always welcome here. Clearly the most important program in the world has not canceled you. But have any other of the lesser programs canceled you?
Well, my think tank is actually brought me on, despite the book. So it's a great think tank, a conservative think tank. So no, I've not been canceled in my workplace. I have had some friendships strained, certainly, extremely strained, and some have healed. But, you know, as someone who really values old friendships, that was hard. But I also realize, you know, it's worse to not say what you think you're supposed to be saying than it is to suffer the consequences for saying it. So that seems like, in the grand scheme of things, you know, there's a lot worse consequences that people can have. But it was a bit hard to stomach. But no, I don't have any place that I could get really canceled because I don't work for any sort of secular, you know, liberal institution.
Well, the funny thing is, like, when you use awake, not woke, okay, so there's that word woke. It does seem that there are these, I almost want to say that they're shibboleths. They're like test words. How will you respond to this word? And like everybody I know anyways, I think everybody I know would love to be an anti-racist, just to give you an example. But then when you hear certain people talking about what it means to be an anti-racist, you know, like opposing the nuclear family and that, you go, wait a second, what have I signed up for? And is that on purpose or what's going on there?
Oh yeah, I think that's deeply on purpose. So, you know, as you said, anti-racism is a perfect example because on the face of it, that's something that everybody of goodwill and good reason would want to identify with. But you're right. You unpack the ideology and you see that there's all sorts of applications to being an anti-racist that are really anti actually any sort of, healthy understanding of the human person. So, I think manipulating language, again, is a course of tactic because it is ideology that is not able to withstand real scrutiny. So it has to sneak its way in through sorts of these kind of coercive statements. So it, then someone can then turn to you and say, oh, really? You're not anti-racism? Wow, you're going to tell me you're not anti-racism.
Yeah.
And the person's stuck in a dilemma. Do I, you know, of course I don't want to say that, but I also know that there's something wrong here, but I can't quite identify it. And, you know, it gets a lot of people through that sort of manipulation, or at least gets them to be silent and not opposing it.
That's, I think, what happens is that it gets people to be silent. There's a certain, well, I don't, you know, there's enough kind of, mud in the water that I don't exactly know what I'm supposed to say in this circumstance. And so you have, there's a kind of cachet that comes with certain institutions that we're supposed to trust them. And then if you don't trust them, then that makes you one of the bad guys. But they're, but at the same time, they're failing us. You know, like many people, I think, would be deeply offended to hear you say what you've said about public schools. But as a parent, I mean, parents know what's going on there, and it's driving them nuts.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think that there's, you know, and I don't want to leave people with a sense of despair by any means. So
right.
I do think that there's been a sea change in the last couple of years. More and more people are becoming aware of this. And so that might lead to a sea change even in the school system. Who knows? But one of the things that I think is important is that we remind people and show, not just tell people, what a good life looks like, you know, with husbands that are loyal and strong and masculine, but also gentle and gentlemen, women that are, you know, not angry, but are, you know, finding great joy and purpose in motherhood and the beauty that accompanies that. This is really the part of the project of Theology of Home, the books, and also our website, theologyofhome.com, is to really to show this a good life, because it's been so stripped out of our media, and people really need to see things embodied in order to know them to be beautiful. Alongside of that, you know, I think that we can all be doing a wonderful job of being hospitable, welcoming people into our lives, into our families, really having that kind of human connection that somebody like Logan, who is alone, you know, I wish that there was a family nearby that could have him over Sunday dinner once a week, or, you know, something, because people really need that. There are so many people who are wounded, who are alone, who have been hurt. And we really need to, you know, bring them into our lives as well, and not just let them be at the mercy of kind of all of these ideologies that are going to prey and exploit those wounds and those hurts.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You can't just sit around complaining about it. There's something else to be done. And that's what Theology of Home is about. And I've given out the website. I'll give it out again, theologyofhome.com. You should check it out. But that's really what you're doing there at Theology of Home.
Yes, that's right. We hear from women all the time who just feel that it's been a fresh air and don't feel alone anymore, you know, that they are finding, you know, joy and purpose and meaning in their motherhood, and have felt guilty about that, have felt like, you know, maybe I'm not advancing myself and using my gifts out in the world in the way I should be. And, you know, maybe this is a lesser or a lower life. And, you know, I think we're trying to communicate that message that, you know, responding to your circumstances with love, whether they be in a workplace or in a home or in your family life or wherever, this is what God wants from us, to respond well to the circumstances we've been given in an attitude of service and love, and put love there. And so whatever state of life we're called to, and, you know, most women have seasons in life. You know, I work now, but I'm used to homeschool. I used to be just purely an at-home mom. And I remember those struggles and the hardships. I also remember how fun and beautiful they were, too. So most stages of life have all of those mixed in. And, you know, we can't be so focused on one or the other, one versus the other. That really it's about responding well with what we have.
That's something I just don't think that young women are being told. And maybe young men need to hear it as well. But this idea of the seasons of life, I mean, how I know really extraordinary career women who just started later. That's all. They started later. And I have not met any who regret it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I do, in the corollary is that we do hear more and more from women who really postponed marriage and family and then later wound up regretting that. So those years go by more quickly than we think. And so I think that, you know, that they've been sort of victims also of this ideology as well.
There's a fog of illusion all around us, and not all of it is a pleasant illusion. It certainly is, living cut off from reality is not going to get us where we want to be. We have wonderful people to help us at this time, though, and Noelle Maring is one of them. You should check out her book, Awake, Not Woke. You should check out the website, Theology of Home, and all come to this conference. She'll be here June 29th right here in San Diego. It's called Withstanding Wokeism. Just put that in your machine, Withstanding Wokeism San Diego, and you will find it. Noelle Maring, it's always a great pleasure to get to talk with you. Thank you for spending the hour with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, we got who we got coming up? Oh yeah, Marcellino D'Ambrosio. And I love it when Marcellino D'Ambrosio is on the show, because I'm one of the few people in the world who can pronounce Marcellino D'Ambrosio. Just imagine my pride. Right back with that after this on Catholic Answers Live.